Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are live with an emergency broadcast with Craig Lund, who on this very channel around 2 weeks ago was swatted. And over this weekend has been arrested, folks. As you can see, he's on the screen. He's been released. But bear in mind, because he now has a ongoing legal situation, he can only say so much about his predicament. So I know you viewers love and support Craig and are going to have tons of questions, but don't kind of like direct him into dangerous waters, so to speak. Also, Craig has got a donation link set up. And I've just donated to it for his legal defense. And it's had a really good reception so far. I'm putting the link in the live chat right now. And it's also in the description box if you're watching a replay. Craig, the viewers, are obviously they're worried sick about you. You know, what the hell has happened? And I hope you're feeling okay.
I'm feeling better. I'm still a bit shell-shocked from it all and a little bit woozy, so just bear with me here. I'm trying to get through. There's a whole lot I want to say, but I can't say any of it, so I got to be very careful. You can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can hear you fine. Just slowly take us through the day in question.
Yeah, it was Monday, and we went out for family day and had lunch at a Mexican food restaurant. We were on our way home, and we had to go through the normal rigmarole, getting through all the homeless drug addicts that have just infested this whole mountain lately. Especially since the FIFA thing, they just shipped everybody up here, and a lot of them are staying. So we have a Tijuana style shanty village, that we have to drive to. So we had to get through that, and then came up, and there was another blockage, and. I felt like my life was in danger, so I reacted and ended up getting arrested on assault second degree and attempted escape third degree. I was injured during the arrest, and they reluctantly took me to the hospital, and the hospital actually admitted me. It wasn't just me trying to avoid jail. I was seriously injured. So the hospital admitted me, and then they transported me to a different hospital because that hospital didn't have the facilities that were required. So at the second hospital, by this time of Tuesday morning, I hadn't eaten anything since the lunch the day before. Second hospital started prepping me for surgery, which meant I couldn't eat for 12 hours or something. But I didn't want to do the surgery at that hospital. I wanted to go to UW Med. And people, these days, I'm noticing people have really short tempers and very, very low patient thresholds. And so they packaged me up and sent me off and put me in a jail. And it was horrible. I've been in jail before. I've had DUI. Last time I was in jail was in Tahoe City, and that place was nice. They brought me coffee the next morning. This place was horrible. I mean, I can't believe how horrible it was. And at one point, my blood—they wouldn't give me my meds. Is the other thing, and I understand why they can't. I brought my meds with me, but they don't know what they are. They don't know what I've done to them, so they have to go through the process of verifying the meds and then duplicating the prescription and getting it to their own pharmacy, and that could take days, right? And I needed my meds like every 3 hours, every 4 hours. So my blood pressure started rising. It eventually hit 197 over 145 with a heart rate at 98. And then I went into seizure, and I was literally dying there. But I didn't want to go to their third world level hospital that they had in the facility. They didn't even know how to do an IV. Because of my wife, I had to walk them through it. And I insisted on going before the judge, even in the state that I was in. I was able to compose myself just long enough to get bail. I got bailed out, and and now I'm home. It's been very, very tough, but I want to do this right. This could be a catalyst for me to showcase a few things, get a few more messages out. But I got to do this right. I got to be very, very careful. You know, and like when I did, I had that DUI, I hired a mediocre attorney, and he basically took my money and didn't do anything. So this time I need a good attorney. So Jamie Skur and Todd Callender hooked me up with a good attorney out here in Washington, but he was a little bit too far away. So he hooked me up with another attorney that's closer. And she's good, but she's expensive. You know, the $10,000 that I'm trying to get right now is just the down payment. We dumped our life savings recently because we're trying to get out of Washington into these tiny homes that I built. I mean, we're two steps from the door. Now we're stuck here for a while. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I'm still a little bit woozy about the whole thing. And I'm nervous. They were up here again yesterday. The cops were up here again yesterday harassing us. That there it is. I was going to say, I expected this, but I wasn't exactly as prepared as I thought. You know, I know I've been running around as the book got more and more popular. My arrogance level started rising. I got to the point where I thought I'm untouchable. They can't do anything to me, but I was wrong. Everyone has to be careful.
Absolutely. All right. So we've got almost 1,000 people watching live right now. Mm-hmm. Craig, author of Silicon Satan, if you've not seen the previous episodes in the series, has been exposing the hierarchy in big tech from the lower rungs to the occult and the evil diabolical, you know, rituals that they do. Approximately 2 weeks ago, he was swatted while on this channel. And this very weekend, he's been arrested. And now he is released. He has raised half of the retainer for his lawyer, which is 10 grand. People are donating left and right. We're almost at 5 grand right now. I'll put the link in the chat, in the description box if people are watching. And if you want to support Craig's mission, there's the link right there. I have personally donated myself today, and I hope this lawyer does the right thing by him.
Yeah, so thank you for that. You know, it's really hard for me to ask for donations. It's very, very hard to do that. I never thought I would have to do that, but I'm actually overwhelmed by the amount of support I'm getting. I mean, really overwhelmed. I didn't expect it, especially right out the chute. Here, you know, so I want to thank everybody out there that's praying for me and donating. Even, you know, $5 is, you know, $5 means a lot, because that means that someone who doesn't have the money is stepping up. And I appreciate that more than anything.
So Brian is asking, and viewers, if you've got any questions for Craig while he's live, please put them in the chat. So Brian is asking, do you think the swatting was a final warning to stop talking?
Well, again, I got to be careful about what I say, and I have to clarify that the SWAT team did not come up here. I'm using swatted as a sort of a generic term for the police rushing up here, and, you know, based on a erroneous phone call that we were killing people or whatever it is they said to get the police to rush up here. So yes and no. It's hard to answer that question within the context of the legal case, but in general, I don't think it really works. Like, I think the people that were here, you know, the foot soldiers, they're just getting phone calls from somewhere. They're just getting commands from up the chain. So they're not exactly at fault. Washington has a huge problem with their homelessness and their drug addicts, and it doesn't work with their policies. The homeless and drug addicts up here are treated a whole lot better. They can do anything they want. They can get with anything. They can get away with anything. They come up here and steal from us, and we call the cops, call the sheriff. The sheriff won't do anything. But if somebody gets erroneous, if somebody makes an erroneous phone call, a fictitious phone call, they'll rush right up here. And the other thing is that we've been up here 12 years, and they told us from the very beginning, okay, you guys, you're up there and isolated. The average response time is going to be 45 minutes. And they knew that I have a background in law enforcement. So they said, you're basically on your own. Do what you got to do. And that's kind of the mode I've been operating in, you know, the last 12 years. I've never had, an incident that I couldn't get out of. But all of a sudden now it's a problem.
Could you just repeat what they have charged you with?
I've been charged with assault, second degree assault, and third degree attempted escape.
And what were you supposedly escaping from? The police?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a 66. I'm a 66-year-old man with a heart valve transplant and a blood pressure problem. And I was, where was I going to go? You know, we're out in the middle of the forest. Where was I going to go?
So, you know, to get this assault charge then, are you able to elaborate on what happened, or is that something you can't talk about?
No, I can't elaborate at this point. We're just getting started. And we did get the attorney retained. That's, by the way, the $10,000 is just a down payment. That's not the whole retainer.
Wow.
But I need, you know, I'm not saying the legal system is broken in America, and it's just like the medical industry here. It's two tier, and I need to get up into that top tier to get the kind of results that I need to turn this into a silver lining. And yeah. And I want to write a book about this whole thing. This has been a very, very strange thing.
So was anyone with you when this incident happened?
Yes, my wife and daughter.
Oh my goodness. So they witnessed it then.
Right. Yeah.
So could they witness on your behalf?
Yes, if they had to. My daughter is she's 32 years old, but she's developmentally delayed. So she kind of operates at an 8-year-old level, a 10-year-old level. Her condition is called mosaics, and so sometimes she has these moments of clarity where she's a normal average woman. And it only lasts a while. You know, we kind of relish those moments because you get to talk to her, but it goes away. And she's always going to be with us. She's never going to, we're not going to put her in any homes, any jewel farms or anything like that. So she goes with us. And you know, she's a delightful person. I really love her. She's not just my daughter. She's a very kind human being. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the state that she was born in.
So, all right. So this incident happened. And then, did they arrest you at the scene of the incident?
No, they came up about an hour later.
So they came up an hour later, and was that the point that they said you tried to evade them or something?
Well, I don't want to get into too many of the details, but they came up, and I explained my side of the story, you know, confidently, thinking it's a no-brainer, but they felt otherwise.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do is even talk to them, I think. You just got to say, I need a lawyer.
Yeah, I know. That was a mistake. But, you know, a lot of these deputies I know up here, and they're good people. A few of them are tyrants. I mean, you're always going to have tyrants in the batch somewhere, right? So I'm not saying that there was tyrants up here, but I'm saying that, you know, I felt confident enough and I mean, it seems like the right thing to do, even though you hear all the time, don't talk to cops, don't talk to cops. I mean, that's a pretty poor state for our culture to be in, when the people who are supposed to protect and serve, the general consensus in the population is don't talk to them. I mean, that's a problem.
It is. I mean, they've been co-opted by the evil forces at the top to do
exactly.
The dirty work. We interview loads of good cops on this channel, and they expose the dirty work they were put up to by their superiors. Yeah. And they did join to go after the bad guys, but it all gets turned upside down, these well-meaning cops. They just get used, just like the soldiers get used. I'm sorry, do you want to add something?
No, I just wanted to say that I'm not making any claims right here, right now. I'm not pointing anybody out. Who knows? Maybe I am guilty. Maybe I'm guilty of sin, you know, but we won't know that until we go to trial, if it gets that far.
So Alexander is asking, at what point did they read you your Miranda rights?
They were professional. They did everything correctly.
Another viewer is asking, at what point did you get injured?
During transport, off the mountain.
So you were in the transport vehicle.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable. I don't want to get too much details, but. You know, too many details. I might slip up and say the wrong thing, and I got
to
be very
okay. I'll move on from that. Are you okay to describe the jail conditions?
Yeah, the jails. I can talk about anything that's on public record. So I was.
So going into the jail, then what was it? The old strip searches stuff.
Oh yeah. And that jail was horrible. I mean, it's really, really bad. I couldn't eat any of the food, if you want to call it that, that was presented to me. And there was this
was it green bologna sandwiches?
Yes, literally. and some sort of beans that were made maybe 6 months ago and then sitting in the refrigerator. It's gel, right? It's not supposed to be a hotel. So, but I don't think it has to be that bad. I think it's a lot to do with budget problems and, the homeless people in this area, it's sort of configured for that type of criminal and not so much, guys like me who, it's not clear that any crimes were actually committed. That's what the whole investigation is about.
So take us through the jail experience then, Craig, in more detail. What was the first room they took you to? Or were you in a reception area at first?
Yeah, you go in, and the sheriff that they had to have a sheriff, they had to have a deputy sit with me this entire time. So the sheriff, the deputy that on the last shift who took me to the jail, he was a very, very nice man, very, very professional, very, very, actually kind of concerned, I think, when he saw Sydney. So you go in, and the first thing they do is they pat you down again and take the paperwork that you were given, the medical paperwork, so you give it to the medical staff. And then you're strip searched, bend over, cough, that kind of thing. And then they have a really fast setup, though, where you go from one station to the next. So one station, they check to see if there's anything in your mouth. Next station is they do like a body scan. So there's like, it's hard to remember, but it was like three or four little booths that they have set up for getting you processed. And then it's just a waiting game. Then it's just waiting. Waiting for the charges to get actually, for me to actually get charged and then put on the books. And then now we got to get an attorney and a bail bondsman on standby. And you really don't know. It's really hard to communicate with the outside world. They'll let you use the phone. They have phones inside there, but you get 5 minutes and that kind of thing. So the setup is fine, but the conditions are horrible. The process seems to be workable, but the conditions again are just horrible in there. Just horrible. I mean, being stuck in a holding cell with five or six homeless people is it's hard to breathe. It's really hard to breathe in that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did they take your clothes and make you wear the jail outfit?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Everything in there has got this weird disinfectant. That's a really strong disinfectant. I live up in the mountains where the air is clean and the water is pure. So I shouldn't say literal hell, but it was about as close to hell as I've ever been. And again, it's jail, so I can't expect Tahoe City everywhere I go, right?
When you were going in, did they put you through any kind of scanning machines?
Yeah, those four stations were basically just scanners instead of them hands-on. There's like one where you go in and it's kind of like a TSA scanning booth. And then they give you a bologna sandwich and I give it to somebody else. And then you just wait.
What color was the jail outfit?
It's almost like a nurse's scrub, but a lot thicker. That's the other thing. It was freezing. They keep it cold because it keeps people less violent. When they're free, when they're shivering, so everybody's kind of shivering, especially me. I have 0% body fat, so you get a nurse's. They let me keep my t-shirt and my underwear, my boxers, and they give you a nurse's shirt. It's green and white striped, and then these thick sort of like nurse's pants. And me, I'm really small. I'm 5'9", but I'm 140 pounds. So these things barely fit on me. So, but the worst thing was the smell. The odor of the disinfectant, and it's everywhere. And then once I got processed, for some reason they put me in the hold. The hole. So everywhere I went, I guess because I was an escape risk based on the charges. So everywhere I went, I was shackled but when I started dying, the medical staff really stepped up and they told me, we got to get you out of here. You cannot die on our watch. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. So they helped get me out. One nurse in particular, I mean, he literally, I think, saved my life. I forgot to say, I went into a seizure. Or did I say that? Did I tell you that?
No. Expand on that. Yeah. How long had you been in when the seizure happened?
I was. They take me down to see the judge, and I was waiting in the cold cell, and that's all. I'd been in there. Let's see. I got in the night before, so it'd been maybe 24 hours at that point, maybe 15, 20 hours, something like that. You know, I hadn't slept. I hadn't eaten, you know, because the hospital was prepping me for surgery. They didn't give me anything to eat for 12 hours. And so I couldn't eat the bologna sandwich at all. It wasn't edible. And then, so they took me down there. I was waiting and waiting. I was feeling really horrible. I could tell them that my blood pressure was rising. I could feel my heart going nuts. I needed my meds. I really needed the meds. And then next thing I know, the room is full of people in uniforms, and they're asking me, do I know my name? Do I know what day it is? That kind of thing. And then he took me back up to the clinic. I was like, no, I got to go back down. I got to get before the judge. And they tried to put an IV, and they were very helpful. They gave me a protein shake, kind of helped me snap out of it. And I got down there before the judge, and then got through it. And the public defender did a good job of reducing the bill. And Crean and Cindy were waiting for me when I went outside. And I guess I looked horrible because they both just started bawling. But, you know.
What was your original bail set at?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, my bail? Yeah.
The bail was, I think, 15,000. It was originally 50,000 and reduced to 15,000 based on circumstances.
And, one of the viewers is asking if you were swabbed and they took your DNA.
I don't think so. Now that you bring it up, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. No, not that I think about it. I was never swabbed. But yeah, I was given a lot of drugs. I'm very careful about what drugs I take. It was, you know, I was given a lot of stuff that I normally would have denied or passed on. But I was sort of in their hands, so I had to play by their rules. It was scary. It was terrifying.
What time of the day was it when you went in?
I went in. I got into the facility around early afternoon, like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And see, I was hoping that I could get in, get before the judge that day, and get out that night. But it didn't. That didn't happen. So I was there overnight in that cell, freezing, shivering without my meds, and trying, you know, to stay alert. And a lot of praying. The only thing that got me through was the praying.
Did your cellmate strike up any conversations with you?
I didn't have any because I was in the hold. I was in the, you know, what they call it, solitary confinement room. But I, you know, I had a window, and I could see the guard, and he could see me. And in the beginning, you know, the guards were, they had that standoffish guard attitude. But as they watched me decline, they became friendlier and more concerned.
Did you have a bunk in there, or were you just resting against the wall?
No, there's a concrete slab that's about, I don't know, maybe 2 feet off the floor that you can lay on.
Was a little mattress on it?
Yeah, they give you a little mattress and 3 blankets and a towel. And then there's this cup. I'll have that cup in my mind forever. A cup, you know, get your cup. It's this plastic cup. It smells just like that disinfectant. And you get, you know, a little tiny toothbrush and some soap, that kind of thing.
Any pillow?
No pillow, no hot water. I mean, you know, the bare necessities. It was interesting that one thing that really interested me, kind of broke me out of my, gave me a little bit of a respite there, was the forks that they use. They're paper forks, but they designed them very, very cleverly. You know, I'm an engineer, so it was very interesting to me, the design of these forks. They're paper, you know, so you can't stab anybody with it. But they actually, the way they designed them, they actually work very well. Kind of
that's good. I remember they had, they got a thing called a spork, haven't they, as well, like a fork spoon thing?
No, this was just a spoon. I said fork, but it's just a spoon. When you get it, it's flat. And you do these folds, put the tab in, you know, tab A and slot B kind of thing. And it turns out to be pretty sturdy. I mean, I thought, this would be a good backpacking.
did the guards bring you a meal in a plastic bag?
No, there's a tray. They brought, you know, you have the little thing on the door, the little opening on the door, and they just put it right there. And they'll tell you, hey, the food's here. It looks good. Would you eat it? Well, no, but it looks good.
And you know what you see in the
I mean, I'm sure the food is edible, but for someone like me, I would have vomited. I would have just gone into a vomiting episode. So, I mean, I almost did. I took a few bites. I did get a carton of milk and a carton, a little child's carton of milk, little skim milk, and a little tiny carton of apple juice, and an apple. But the apple had that disinfectant all over it, so I couldn't eat it. So that's pretty much. And then there was a little bit of cereal in a little white plastic bowl, and I don't know what it was. It didn't taste like it. It was, I don't know what it was, so I didn't want to eat it. And then you get these weird things like I guess it's supposed to be cornbread with the beans, but I don't know what it was. I'm a trained chef, so it's, food is important to me. And this is, I could have done better with the ingredients that they had on that tray.
So like you see in the movies where you exercise your right to make a phone call, were you able to do that?
In the beginning, I was. Once I got into the cell, they wouldn't let me use the phone until my situation became dire. And then after I got out of court, they did allow me to use the phone. So because my wife wasn't there, she was supposed to show up with an attorney, and she wasn't there. So I was very concerned. It's like, oh God, she's in a car wreck. Something happened to her. She get arrested. So I was very, very concerned. So they allowed me a 30-second phone call to check on her. And she said, yes, we made the bail. It's going to be in the cutoff.
Oh my God, a 30-second phone call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it one of those reverse charge calls?
Yeah. It was a collect call. And so you have to set this all up before you go in, right? And I didn't know it was going in. So it wasn't set up. So the guard actually did it for me. It was very, very appreciative of his. He set it up for me because at that point I could barely think. I was a mess. But he said he didn't have to do that, but he set it up for me and I got her on, and she was, everything was up. So it made me feel a lot better. Then again, it's just a waiting game. And it took like another 6 hours after that to get out.
I just want to say a huge thank you to all the people who've donated since we've been live to the Legal Fund. I've donated myself, and it is almost at $5,000 right now. It's jumped up about $400 since we've been live. It's at 4976. Who's going to push it above five? Come on, folks. Let's push this above five.
Thank everybody.
I shall put it in the live chat right now. If anyone wants to push it above five, there it is. And how long was it, Craig, before you were able to see the judge? And was it an actual judge or was it camera court?
It was camera court. It was the next day around. I think I saw him around 2 o'clock the next day. It was very quick, very, very quick bail. This is a bail set hearing.
Did they have to extract you from your cell to go to the camera?
Yeah. Yes. They in a wheelchair.
In a wheelchair? Were you all shackled up and stuff?
I had the cuffs, with the chain around. But I couldn't. There's no way I could have made that walk. It was a long ways away. That building is huge. It's like a labyrinth. I guess that's my design.
I bet they had you hemmed up like Hannibal Lecter with your escape risk category.
Yeah.
So the judge seemed understanding and unbiased.
Yeah. The judge did. Yes. And the prosecutor just doing her job. And it was all that part was all very professional. I mean, there's nothing I can really say about that except that it was just normal bail hearing. But I was just, again, I was just trying not to pass out because I didn't want to interrupt it before bail was set, because then it would just delay the process. And I had to go back. That, even if I was ended up in the hospital for 3 months, they would take me back to get the bail hearing. Right? So I needed to get, I wanted to get that over with so I could get back on my feet. Get back to my wife. She's a nurse. She's did a really good job getting me back here. But I still got a ways to go.
So, Craig, in these situations then, a court date is set. And has a court date been set for you?
The first hearing is set, and then we'll find out what other future dates we'll need. I don't go through this very often, so I'm still learning the process. I'm still trying to figure out, okay, what do I do? Where do I go? What's the best thing? And I have a good attorney, so I talked to her this morning. Karina and I did, and she told us what to do for the next couple of days and to get ready for the next hearing, that kind of thing.
So I'm familiar with the process in Arizona State, where 98% of the cases go to plea bargains. Yeah. And, you know, from all the people I've spoke to, you've got your lawyer, you've got the prosecutor, and then over time, negotiations are made, and usually a plea bargain is struck for lesser charges. In the beginning, though, the prosecutor usually comes at you with, you know, as many charges as possible. They say they want to make the mud stick, and they say you're facing decades, so that when you sign for something far less, you actually feel relieved to be doing a lesser sentence. But, you know, in your case, it sounds like you're innocent and should be exonerated. But, it's going to depend upon many, many variables. Many an innocent man has ended up in prison as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I have a lot of faith in God. I think God is doing this. This is part of the whole plan. This, you know, I don't know why I wrote that book. I tried not to. It took 6 years. But it's all part. It seems to be all part of the plan. I mean, I'm not really in control of my life anymore. I've turned it over to God, to Yahuwah. I call him Yahuwah and Yahusha. I'm confident that the outcome will be in my favor. I can't guarantee, you know, I wouldn't bet on it because of how weird the legal system is here. But, with a good attorney, you're going to get a little better, professionalism. I mean, then, you know, going with a public defender and showing up half drunk and that kind of thing.
Yeah, they call the public defenders public pretenders. They just want you to do a quick old plea bargain and get on to the next victim, and they don't act in your best interest. Greg, right. for people in the UK then, plea bargain, that's not a term we use in this country. Do you want to explain what that means to the people in the UK?
Yeah, plea bargain is when they offer you a lesser charge with lesser punishment instead of them spending the money to go to trial. And it's a money saving tactic, and it's from my opinion. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but to me, it appears to be sort of a money. It's like if they see the case and it's maybe not as strong as they want, and they don't really want to spend the funds because their budgets are tight, they'll offer you a deal, lesser charges. And the judge doesn't have this. This is between the prosecutor and your attorney. The judge doesn't, when you go to sentencing, the judge doesn't have to accept the plea. He can do whatever he wants at that point. And I've seen cases where people blew it. They had a plea bargain, they had a deal, and then they blew it, and the judge revoked it. And so, again, you got to be careful. You got to be very careful with these things because the system is huge, right? It's hard to get a handle on it. And you could have the same set of parameters one day and get a certain outcome. And you could have the same set of parameters the next day and get a completely different outcome. So it's sort of is the prosecutor feeling good today? Which prosecutor do you have? Do they have a grudge? You know, did they have an argument with their spouse that morning? You know, those kind of things are unfortunately part of the system. And, you know, if we used AI for the better, instead of, then I think AI could do a better job at handling a lot of these cases until it gets before the judge. I mean, I think AI is at the point where it could be useful in situations like this. It should be, you know, medical issue. You know, humans are error prone, and if you had a very good data set, then it should run pretty well. I mean, or, you know, from my perspective as an engineer, I could see that actually benefiting. But, you know, they've got other plans for all this AI, right? They're going to use it for their own diabolical.
They say your sentence is determined by what the judge had for breakfast.
I'm not saying that, but that I've heard that said.
Yeah, I mean, the justice system is monolithic and treacherous. So you definitely have to tread carefully. And the plea bargain system, it can work out in some cases. I've seen people who are innocent and they were offered to be released the next day.
Yeah.
And they refused because they had faith that justice would prevail, and they refused to sign a plea bargain and got, I saw one guy get 30 plus years.
Yeah. I've heard that too. It's, I'm not expecting I'm not saying I expect a plea deal. We're just sort of talking in general here, but yeah, you're right.
But like you say, the costs of trial are astronomical. So the state views a plea bargain as preferential to them running up all those costs. And in fact, right. If every single person in the US justice system, every single defendant, exercise their right to a trial tomorrow, the whole system would be bankrupted. It would financially collapse.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Yep. All right, so we've got over 1,500 people watching live. If you just joined us, Craig, after the cops showing up on his property, has now been separately arrested. Just got out this weekend. He was in there, and he got to see the camera court judge, and he got his bail reduced. And how many hours total were you in there for then, Craig?
Probably 35 or something like that. And by the way, I'm not claiming that the incident that happened when you and I were live that night has anything to do with this. I'm not making any correlation here. Just for the record,
none of us or the viewers are thinking that you might be over the target. So, all right. So, were you able to sleep, or were you worried sick?
I was worried sick, and I was, I felt like I was dying. I mean, I really did. I really felt like if I don't get to my meds soon, this is the last place I want to die. I don't want to die in this cell. And then when Green picked me up and saw me, how horrible I looked, she wanted to take me to the ER, and I should have gone, but I didn't want to die in the ER either. I wanted to go home.
So when you first went in and they asked you the screening questions, are you going to unalive yourself? Are you thinking about it? Are you on any kind of medication? Did you reveal to them at that point about your medication?
Yes. I brought my medication with me.
Oh, okay. You had your medication with you.
Yeah. Yes. When I was being arrested, my wife said, he needs his meds. And they said, well, go get him. So we did. And like I said, it's, they have to, they can't just let people take their meds. They don't know what I did to them, right? But they can duplicate them if they can verify them. But that can take a couple of days, especially if it's running into the weekend like mine was. I mean, I got out picked up on a Tuesday and out on a Thursday.
So do you think it was the stress of the situation that brought on the seizure?
Yeah, that and not having the meds, right? So, I mean, the meds are for there. I take them for a purpose. And then piled lack of sleep, lack of food and water. I was severely dehydrated. And the stress of the whole thing, it was more than my old body can take. I'm an old man now.
And going without sleep is a form of torture. I mean, the longer it went on without sleep, didn't your brain start to play tricks on you and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I was seeing spores growing off the walls for a while there. And that's when I thought, man, I'm really going downhill here. I'm seeing spores, spider webs that aren't there.
What about insects, cockroaches, etc.?
There wasn't very many bugs. There was a couple flying things, maybe a mosquito, which I don't know if it was a mosquito, but I don't think bugs would survive in there very long. And they have mosquito zappers all over the place. But the worst thing is, besides the smell and the food, the worst thing is it's so cold in there. They keep it freezing. I mean, just cold, and they won't. And like, I had my arms inside my shirt to keep warm, and they made me take them out.
All right. I just want to alert and thank the last people who have donated that have took you above 5K. We're at 5111 right now.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank everybody. I mean, this is, you know, just if nothing, this is a lesson in humility. It's a hard lesson, but I think I needed it because, like I said, I was walking around here feeling very arrogant, you know, kind of full of myself because the book was getting successful and I was getting a lot of attention. So God knocked me down a few pegs.
It's a good way to turn it into a positive, you know, time for soul searching. I'll read some of the comments that have come in on the donation page just now from an anonymous. I wish you blessings and everything turned out great for you.
Thank you.
1 minute ago, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. You are a good man.
Thank you.
Rachel Noble, hope this helps. Just on Sean's channel. Anonymous.
Thank you, Rachel.
Gives you a heart. Hiltrude, thanks so much for your courage to speak out. God bless you and us all. Kelly, we the people of the United States must fight for our freedom like always. Anonymous, keep on keeping on, Craig. And thank you. Much love and mad respect, sir. Melinda, heart. And Rebecca, God bless you, Craig, and your family
Thank you.
Anonymous giver, prayers for you. And on it goes. That's a beautiful thing.
It is. It's overwhelming. I mean, probably in a day or two, I'm going to break down and cry for a day.
And how are your, you know, you said your wife and your daughter were with you. How are they taking it?
They're recovering as well. My daughter, she came in and saw me in the hospital and started crying. And I did everything I could do to keep from crying with her because I didn't want her to see, you know, but I was that worried. As soon as she left, I broke down and cried. And the guard that was with me cried.
Wow.
He tried to hide it, but it was very, very, very emotional. It was very traumatic for her. She's kind of walking around. We're keeping an eye on her. She's kind of walking around, very nervous, keeps asking about, I'm going to go back to jail, you know, but she'll get over it. She's despite her state and her afflictions, she's a very strong young lady. She has a very, very sweet soul. And the world is cruel to her because of her state. You know, she's a retarded person and the world is just awful to her, you know?
So Max said he donated on the Jayco one. The Jayco one, was it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And are we in the something to do with Season of Satan, is it?
Well, I've heard that. You know, I don't know much about the Season of Satan, but we're in some sort of Season of Satan. You know, there's something going on. There's something, you know, well, of course, there's something going on. This is their last chance. You know, they look like they're going to pull it off. But of course, God always intervenes when they get close to fruition. But they look like they're going to pull their plan off. And their plan is to break into heaven, take over the throne room, you know, the control room, throw God out, and run the world themselves. It sounds crazy. It sounds like comic book stuff. But you know, I lived with these people, and they're very serious, and they have a lot of money, and they're very smart. You know, they can probably pull it off, but God won't let them. And I think they're panicking right now because a couple of things. One is the deadline's coming up, and two is so. You know, I'm a software developer. I'm from that world, and back then we were very careful about shipping stuff out full of bugs. We were very, very careful. Even if it delayed the shipment and caught, you know, marketing would be all over us, but we're not going to send this out. It's not ready. I'm noticing these days, they're just shoving. Everybody's making so much, you know, so many apps and so many devices that they're just shoving them out the door. And, you know, I'm upgrading these trailers with, you know, high tech stuff. And I'm telling you, there's a 50% fail rate, you know, 50% of what I'm purchasing, I have to send back. So that means that they're having the same fail rate. And that's why they're kind of panicking because a lot of this stuff doesn't work. When Sam Altman says, well, we don't really know how it works, how AI works, that's not an nefarious statement. He really doesn't know because the system is so big and so, you know, so full of what we used to call spaghetti code that it's really hard to believe that it actually works. You know, I use the Hubble Space Telescope as a good example. That I worked for Keck Telescope when they sent that up. And from it was the JPL crew, And so every team has their module to work on, and it has a set of specs that come with that module. And as soon as they meet those specs, then they're pretty much done. And then at some point they plug all these pieces together. And what they failed to do, they regression tested everything, but they failed to do a system test, which meant basically putting light in one end and seeing what comes out the other end. They never did that, right? And they sent it up and it was blurry. So, it's little mistakes like that are rampant these days. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're sort of in this push panic mode.
And do you think that agenda is accelerating?
Yes. Don't you? Doesn't it feel like it is?
Absolutely. It really does. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason it is accelerating. Like I said, they have a lot of bodies buried between now and 2030.
Look at all the money that's going into AI and data centers.
Yeah.
It's taking over everything.
It could be a good thing, but anything, a can opener is a good thing until you use it for evil purposes, right? Anything can be a weapon. Anything can be a tool for evil. Anything can be weaponized.
So Wildfire's asking, what did they give you to wear when you left? Did they give you clothes back?
Yeah, they give you the same clothes that you came in. So it was nice to put my own clothes on, but I had, cowboy boots when I went in. So I had to wear cowboy boots and, in the state that I was in, walking out, it would have been better in flip-flops. Oh, they give you pink Crocs to wear. I've never worn
pink
Crocs in my life. Yeah, I've never worn Crocs in my life, and pink was not my color.
They didn't give you pink boxer shorts like in Arizona?
No, they let me keep my boxers, that I'd been wearing for 3 days.
And another question is, how did the authorities treat your loved ones? That's from Max.
Corrine was in and out of the jail often, checking on my state, and she said that they were very cordial. They were very helpful. They weren't. Dicks like you hear some people experiences are. They were respectful to her.
Here's a question from Fractal. How do we recognize the operation in the daily life? What signs, symbols, appearance, or behaviors are there that you know of?
That's a very big and broad question. It's the beginning of a long conversation, but the short answer would be, I think that everybody has a built-in system that was designed in us by God, where we can discern the signs and the symbols just by how we feel. But we've been groomed and trained and conditioned to ignore those feelings that God designed inside of us. So once you start honing that skill, it becomes more and more apparent. And you start seeing it everywhere. I see it everywhere because I grew up with it pretty much, So to me, I see the number 33. It's kind of weird. People say, well, you're crazy. My room, my cell number was 6 and my case number ends with 666. Okay. Coincidence? Yeah, maybe, but it scares me when I see that. To me, it's a message. It's not a message from them. It's a message from, this is a spiritual war. Everybody's got to realize that we're in the last spiritual war humanity is ever going to have to fight, I believe. And the stakes are very high. And people, I wrote the book to wake people up. I don't care about the royalties aren't anything really. I spend more than that on dinner sometimes. And I didn't write. That's not why I wrote the book. I wrote the book because I felt like I had to. I had to warn people. I just, like I said, it took 6 years because I kept fighting it off. I didn't want to write it. God was relentless. So I wrote the book, and I'm glad I did because it is having an effect, the effect that I want. People are waking up. I get a lot of questions every day, and they're good. They're good questions. It makes me feel hopeful because they're asking the right questions now.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm extremely paranoid. Okay. Queen's out there. She'll handle anything. I don't know what I was talking about anymore.
Craig, let me just pause you there. I'm just going to tell the viewers who are just tuned in. So Craig was arrested for alleged assault and also alleged attempted escape. That the people are asking over and over again, what was it? we were just talking about this question on the screen. How do we recognize the operations in daily life? So for the public, how would the public recognize the operations?
Well, they've groomed the general populace to ignore the feelings you get when you see these things. So everybody gets these feelings, that, these gut hunches, right? These intuitions. That's all connected to your consciousness. It's all connected to God. So we've been trained to ignore that, though. We've been trained to ignore that by, movies. They make you look dumb if you have an intuition or if you believe that you have a feeling that you want to act on, But I think people need to understand that they have that skill. It's built into them, and all you have to do is start honing it. It's dust it off, break it out, and start using it. The more you use it, the stronger it'll get, and pretty soon you'll start seeing with clear eyes, much more clear eyes, what's going on around you. And that, people need to get prepared. I don't mean, guns and food and that's it. They need to get spiritually prepared for what's coming. If they don't think it's coming, then they're not paying attention. They're watching too much football, and they need to pay attention. And when Jacob and I were talking the other day, he was asking about just so many events. It's like every day there's something new coming up. And the way I explain this is based on something called chasing the herd, where there are certain animals that out in the wild that they, instead of focusing in on one prey, in a large herd, everything they change and chase everything that goes by them, right? And they never actually catch anything because they're too busy chasing this one and then something going to chase that one. That's what they're doing to us. They're throwing so much at us that you can't really focus in on one thing because it gets interrupted and you chase the next one. And then that one gets interrupted and you don't get anywhere. You just burn your energy out and you get tired and you give up and you just like the animals out in the field. They'll run and run and run. They won't catch anything and they get tired and give up and die.
Got some great questions coming in. How do we get spiritually prepared and protect ourselves?
Pray. Just pray and start the conversation. I have a good relationship with God. I talk to God, and I don't send him messages. I don't send him text messages or emails. I have a conversation, and I think that's what a lot of people need to start doing. Just have a conversation, and it'll start coming to you little by little. I mean, I don't mean to sound like a preacher, but that's what I've done. That's what got me out of the situation I was in my previous life, and that's what's been helping me all along, is just constant prayer. Then even something like this, it's terrifying and makes me very nervous, but it really deep inside, I know that God is there. I know that Yahushua is there, and that no matter what happens, I'm going to be fine. Even if terrible things happen, my soul is going to be fine. The end game is all about your soul. It's not about your three-dimensional, whatever this is, wherever we are. I don't know. I don't even know anymore, but I know it's important to stay on top of your spiritual strength.
So Peg is asking, what is coming? What is the end game?
Well, there's a hypnosis technique where you can jolt somebody into hypnosis, into a hypnotic state. I don't know if you've ever seen that happen, but I have. But you can either scare them into a hypnotic state or just jolt them with something that just overwhelms them completely. And they become sort of catatonic. I think that's what they're going to do to us. Is they're going to come up with something. They're going to throw something out that, or maybe a series of things, maybe a boom, boom, boom kind of thing, or maybe all of them at the same time. Whether it's an alien invasion or the monsters coming out of the pit or the new pandemic that's incurable and people are dying left and right, or the 10 days of darkness, whatever. They can do all those at the same time, and it's going to jolt most of humanity into a hypnotic state. And then they're going to have a lot more control than they do now.
I think they're halfway there, having humanity in an MK Ultra hypnotized state. So Pac-Man is saying, how do you learn to trust your gut feelings? Seems like you've cleared out a lot in your life. What would you say to parents to help their kids?
It's trial and error. It's practice. You don't achieve it in one day. I mean, I suppose you could. I suppose it's possible, but, we're weak. Human beings tend to be a little bit weak in these kinds of things, but it takes practice. You got to keep at it. You can't give up. The enemy is going to try to disrupt you and try to make you feel dumb for doing, you know, for doing this, or try to distract you, or put all kinds of thoughts in your, you know, whisper all kinds of things at you. But the more you stick to it, it's like anything. You know, if you want to be a good gymnast, you have to practice. If you want to be a good engineer, you got to, you know, it takes work, it takes practice. You can't just, it's a gift, but it's takes a little bit of, it's like 99% gift and 1% you. And that's, that 1% you is the practice and putting it into, you know, implementing it, you know, and then evolving it, upgrading it. You know, I always sound like an engineer, but that's my approach. Is when I needed to get my spiritual life back together, I started square one. I started as though I knew nothing, and built on that. And it's real. I mean, I'm it's real. I'm evidence of that.
Susan is glad you're still here. Do you have any new tidbits you can share from your upcoming books?
Well, I was trying to get this book out in October. This is book two, but that's not going to happen now. I have way too much to do now. And not only that, but I started changing the book anyway, because the world kind of caught up with, I'm trying to make it a predictive. So the first book was how we got from back from there to here. And the second book is kind of sort of a prediction of where I think we're going to go from here. And what I was going to write, the world is already caught up to. It's, things are happening so fast that it's going to be boring. So I needed to go a little bit further, but now, I might write a whole nother book just at the same time. I want to write about his experience, because I think it's a good experience to hear about, because you may be facing it or some form of it. You may be facing some form of, you know, I don't really know what to call it. I'm still kind of woozy, trying to get my brain sorted out here. It's kind of took a toll on me.
Well, you're doing great. You got a question here then. Do you think the Great Reset is similar to discussed in the Sumer tablets has already happened, and that's why we seem to be so amnesic, or is it still to come?
No, I think it's still to come. I think the resets that I refer to are God's resets. That, you know, last one he did was the flood. And then he did that for a reason, you know. Again, the Lucy's were getting too far along. So I think that a lot of these resets are God just starting us over, you know, wiping the slate clean. I haven't thought enough about that to make a really good statement, but I don't think the resets are in their control. I think that they know that they're coming and they're going to try to own them. Like the current reset that I feel is coming, I don't think belongs to them, but they're going to try to usurp it, own it, sabotage it.
Do you think they were testing your defenses?
Well, it kind of depends on what you mean by they. You know, there's two levels of they. There's the foot soldiers, the people who are just doing their job, and then there's whomever is at on top of this. You know, again, it could just be one of those things that you know. Big misunderstanding, but I don't really think so. It might be, but I don't really think so. I do believe that the they that I'm thinking of, which is probably not the they that most people think of, are testing my defenses. I mean, there was one of the orders originally was to remove my security cameras, and the public defender had that stricken.
That's your right to security, isn't it?
Yeah. But they had an angle they tried to use to get my security cameras taken down.
So when Barry Seal, who was bringing in the white powder for the CIA, when he became a liability, what they did was they court ordered him to some Salvation Army halfway house. They court ordered him to not be able to have weapons. And they did all these things, so he was stripped of all protection. And they also had him, he had to stay at this fixed address during these hours. And they knew the cartel had a hit on him, so they put him at a fixed address without any weapons, without any protection, knowing the cartel, what would happen would take its course. And he was whacked, And he had George H.W. Bush's phone number in his pocket.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of signs you want to look for, right?
Yeah. When they start stripping away your levels of protection.
Yeah. When you see things like that, you got to start keeping score. You know, if somebody asked earlier, how do I go about this? Well, start keeping score. Start taking notes. And then pretty soon you'll go back over your notes and, oh my God, there's a pattern here. There's a recognizable pattern.
Billy's asking, why do you think they hate us so much?
Well, because Lucifer refused to bow down to the image of God. So and then he got cast out of heaven, and he's been vindictive ever since. I mean, that's a simple answer. That's a short answer. It is their job. It is their job to hate us. It is their job to torture us. You know, Lucifer gets a lot of pleasure out of that. That's why the baby rituals are so important. You know, take the both innocent. And, you know, it's not just the baby rituals. It's someone like my daughter, the innocent and the most innocent that they really relish, which is why she's always going to be within watch of me, within reach of me, no matter what state I'm in. Yes.
Craig, we're at the hour. I think almost a grand has come in on the donation page.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers, my friend?
No, I want to thank you for the support, the prayers, the donations, you know, are overwhelming right now. It's a big thing in my life. It's really changing me quite a bit for the better. But the other thing is, you know, everybody be careful, prepare. Even if you don't believe in it, you can prepare for it anyway. It means it doesn't cost that much. It's just get right with yourself, get right with your God. And I know people hear that all the time, but I'm surprised I'm even saying it, but at this point, it's, you know, you can need to prepare. You don't want to find yourself in the situation I'm in.
And viewers, you know, huge thank you to those who did donate. If you can't donate, please like and share this video because it will help the algorithm get it out there to other people who can donate and spread it. Let's spread it far and wide so we can get as much money raised for Craig as possible. Because I'm worried about him. To go from the cops coming and encroaching on your property to now getting arrested to now having a court case to them trying to take away your security cameras. This is a worrying trajectory of circumstances, Craig.
It's so very worrying.
Let's stand up for Craig. Let's do what we can united. Let's even just send him our healing, protective energy so that these demonic forces cannot break his infrastructure down and do anything worse to him. Let's just focus on that, sending him your prayers, your energy, and everything we can possibly do to protect Craig. I don't want to get a message next week from Craig's wife saying something even worse has happened, because this trajectory is a very dangerous one that he's on right now. So,
by the way, I'm not suicidal, by the way. Just put that out. Sorry to interrupt you. You were on a roll there.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you put that on the record, and it's scary.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that, though. I mean, just sending good thoughts is that helps. It really does. In the spiritual world, that really does help.
Of course, it's the collective consciousness and goodwill of the viewers. And when you've got all these people all over the world rooting for you,
you know, I can feel it.
Standing up against the Lucy energy, trying to drag you down. Then, good shall prevail over evil.
Hallelujah.
All right, brother, we're going to let you get on with your day. Go and get some rest, man, and much love to your family and all the support possible.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, viewers, for all your questions and all of your kindness this evening. This has been a very unusual situation. You know, I wasn't expecting to get a call from Craig's wife saying this had happened. I've been in shock. I've been waiting for a few days to speak to him to get to the bottom of it. But it just, these allegations just sound preposterous. Trumped up BS, trying to shut him up because he's over the target. And we're going to do everything we can to help him combat this evil. So yeah, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for giving your love and support. I can see by the end of it, you know, when Craig came on, he was shook up from what happened, understandably. You've got the shock of the newly incarcerated, PTSD, everything kicking in, especially if you've not slept, man. It's like jet lag. It lasts for days. So, but by the end of it, I could see he was feeling all the energy coming in. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm proud of you folks for, you know, transmitting this loving energy to Craig tonight. So you all have a good night wherever you are in the world. This video, when it finishes, it will take you to a trailer for the new Jimmy Savile Survivor podcast we've got coming out soon. Dark content. Also,
hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group, void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.